CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Without Gareth for a little while, it's myself, Sia. I also have Mulelo here. And for this Wednesday morning, it's Damon Calvary. If you are wondering, and if you just only started listening to part two, Gareth, I had to dash off to the studio, the ENCA studio, where we will be filming our show. So what now? And look, I have to say, as a bit of a side note, Gareth is just remembering exactly why TV making is not his favorite thing at all. I just have to be honest.
And Tommy, is this TV show, is it live?
So it's pre-recorded on a Tuesday afternoon to air on a Wednesday evening. And the reason for that is, well, part of the reason is that we want to keep all of the discussions as relevant as possible without cutting it too fine. So, you know, everything that has happened in the week that was, we can discuss up until Tuesday afternoon, and then we just cross our fingers that nothing major.
So live is out of the question.
It's not out of the question, but for a debate format, you get richer conversation, I think, in an instance where we're able to look at what works, what are the best points, and we're able to edit all of that properly.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. But I have to be honest, after largely working on this show and how we work here and how we make things happen, when you are in a situation with many more people and something goes wrong, yeah, I had a bit of a stage 7 meltdown yesterday, going like, what are we going to do?
TV is a schlep and a half compared to radio. TV is horrible, sorry to say.
Also, it's a shift for me, because once you're done here for the 2 hours, you're done. You get up and you leave and you're done.
You've still got things to do.
Absolutely, but in terms of just for the large part, you are done. You know, then there's a liaising with the guests and the content and whatnot. But as compared to TV, you know, once you have recorded in studio, then you have to sit in the edit suite, and then you have to pick visuals that work with it, and then you have to cut promos. It's just a whole big operation.
So the guest tonight is Leon Schuster. Is the show only Leon Schuster?
No, so he's one of the guests. So
who's on the guest?
Yeah, a big thing that people are talking about right now is education and the unlocking of our communities, and including that, the reopening of schools. So we'll start off with Prof. Jonathan Janssen, and you know how passionate he is about education.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, and he's already spoken out about the fact that he largely feels like the school year is done. He also feels like homeschooling is not an option right now. What we as a country need to be focused on is equipping those schools that aren't able to teach while keeping social distance enough, as opposed to saying, oh, your parents can teach from home. Because unfortunately, we just have to realize and accept the fact that a lot of parents just can't teach as much as teachers do. And that is exactly why you have teachers who are known for their profession. And so then we'll have a panel who will be discussing education and some other topics as well. And then we'll wrap up with Leon Schuster. So I think we have a good, solid show later on.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sounds good. Who's all watching?
Yeah.
8:30 on ENCA DSTV channel 403. So look, yeah, let's get into some news stories. But look, if you do want to join in on the conversation,
Excuse me. Don't worry, I coughed into my elbow.
David, aren't you just a little concerned these days to be coughing that loudly and proudly?
No, man, that cough was very subtle. I'm just curious about Mbulelo. I'm looking at Mbulelo for the last hour and a bit, and I'm thinking to myself, Mbulelo and Mfundo, is this solitary confinement at the Cliff Central Studios, is it taking its toll? How are you coping psychologically?
I'm built for this. I like to shelter myself anyway. So this is perfect for me.
Oh, so you're very happy.
I,
uh,
yeah, I'm not a let's hang out type of person.
So you don't really have any friends?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm really?
I'm not big on that.
I was making a joke.
No, I'm not really big on, hey, let's hang out and have small talk. Like I have a very core group of friends, and then they don't waste my time with useless talk.
I can't go out with you. If I sat down with you for over a cup of coffee, it's going to be very short. It'll be a 15 minute meeting, and then that's enough of you. Cheers.
Well, if you're bringing some value, then no. But if it's just to tell me how sad you are about your left knee being sore or your troubles with your wife, I have no time for that.
Hey, troubles with wife can be highly entertaining, okay? Don't pull that up. Please, man.
Yes.
That's great. That's great material.
Damon, I've got the Premier League for entertainment if I want to be entertained. So if I'm going to talk to you, add some value to my life.
You know, in my mind, Mulele, you've always been like this. You're old and pringles. I'll stand here and try and crack the next, you know, quadratic.
Did your grade one school teacher feel like that she was being, she was being judged?
Well, I got bored very quickly, as I do now, Damon. So,
really?
I used to be a nightmare for teachers.
So you're one of those gifted children that were misunderstood?
No, I wouldn't say that. I was a little shit.
Oh.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah. You know, big energy, and I knew everything, which hasn't changed.
Okay.
Except now I don't have to sit in class anymore.
But Damon, if I'm honest, I feel like there are certain days Mulele sits here and he judges us.
No, he does. I can see that. No, of course he's got a judge. He's got a judgmental look on his face.
He looks down at us going, oh, is this really what preoccupies your time?
Yeah, no, definitely.
No, but Damon, you are one of the most entertaining people in free South Africa history. In post-99, you are one of the best and a pure artist at what you do. So, in an entertainment sense, I don't judge you. You are electrifying.
Oh, I thought, this morning I was a little bit off my game. It got a bit too heavy. I felt it got a bit too heavy.
Why?
It just got very, we carried on way, way too much on the Leon Schuster. It was just going around in circles, and I just felt that there was a lot of gaslighting going on. It was getting confusing, and we're just going around in circles.
But anyway. I think it's conversation that a lot of people are having, and so yeah, it is what it is. On that note, though, something I found a little, what's the word? It hasn't
just frustrating.
No, it hasn't even frustrated me that much, but it's just I don't have the energy to devote to this. I have a very mixed group of social circles and friends to the point where sometimes I am the only black person in certain circles of friends. Doesn't really bother me, doesn't change the price of my bread. But a lot of people, some of my white peers, have been calling me and being like, about Black Lives Matter and about, you know, George Floyd. I don't know. I don't know too.
So what did they say?
I want to have this conversation.
No, but hang on. You see, you guys are the new generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you have stories from your parents and your grandparents telling you about what their lives were like, what they went through, et cetera, et cetera?
You see, this is exactly why we can't treat, in my opinion, anything to do with race or whatever you choose, whatever large group you want to make an example of, in one swift move. You have to look at the context of each individual person. I'm not saying race doesn't matter. I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. I'm not saying that people still aren't hurt by certain things today. But I'm saying there are different things, there are different priorities for me. And when I look at the childhoods that both my parents had, they were very unique. You know, even though my mother grew up in a township, she was very, very sheltered by her parents. She was not, you know, she If she was out, she was out at school, and then she came back home. They used to play together as kids in the yard. So it's not as if she was out protesting or knew what was happening. And for my father, who grew up in rural areas, really, if he wasn't at school, he was at church. And, well, no brainer, that's how he grew up, to be a priest. So I didn't grow up in this highly politicized household. And I grew up in a diverse and multiracial household as well. So I cannot be the poster child of talking about black issues amongst.
Okay, it kind of like reminds me of that movie Life is Beautiful, where it's a fictitious movie, Italian movie with English subtitles. He won the Oscar for Best Actor, where they're in a concentration camp and the father creates an entertaining environment and shields his child from what's going on. So your parents, to a certain degree, almost did the same kind of thing. Not in terms of entertainment, but they shielded you. They were shielded from that kind of environment.
Yeah, but regardless, for
which is amazing.
But regardless, for people in my generation, I think no one is a poster child or the ideal black to take up issues. I don't know. Mbulelo, do you agree?
It's a tricky one. And so, Damon, just so I can explain how I deal with race relations, I don't talk about it anymore, particularly to white people, because I'm too jaded. And you must remember, I come from almost the first generation of black people to be in school. So I spent my high school years being the only black person. Well, the whole of primary school, I was the only black person in my sports teams, right? So that brought with it some language, which was unbelievable, but you let it go then because you didn't know any better. In high school, I was the only black person in my cricket team and rugby team right until standard 9. So that brought environments that were very interesting. So
was it positive or negative?
Negative for me as an individual, but people don't care. Like, I mean, Gareth expressed some kind of the sentiments of he's got his own issues to deal with. And I've said, I will never put that burden on any white person to try and take what is in me regarding race relations, because it's too much of a burden. I wouldn't put that on anybody. So I wouldn't say it's helpful to try and look for a single figure of like, oh, well, that black person's got a race relation argument that I agree with. So it's a tricky one, eh, Damon? And I don't address it anymore because it's just too much. It's too much for me to try and shed what is within me.
Okay, it kind of explains. You guys have put things into context for me.
Because and the I other come day, from a politicized home, to be clear. An extremely politicized home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't need to tell people stories. I went through horror stories and continue to go through horror stories of race. So, you know.
You continue story. Just contextualize that you continue in terms of hearing the stories or experiencing?
No, experiencing. But I don't talk about it outside. This is probably the first time in 5-6 years I've spoken about it, actually.
But is that healthy? Aren't you maybe internalizing stuff? Maybe you should get things out?
No, because I expect it. I understand the South African context and what my skin color is. Plus, I'm a loud black person. So I expect racism.
Oh,
so
what does that mean?
To me, no, because generally we come from a generation where we understand our history, where black people were supposed to be. So for me, as I walk my journey, Damon, it's becoming more interesting to see what people do rather than what they say, because I've been through too much. So for me, it's either turns into you're throwing the race card, or people just turn away anyway. So
because the other day, Gareth made a comment. He said some parents choose couldn't be bothered to feed their children, and they send their children to school to get fed. And I thought to myself, why isn't Sia and Nibolelo saying anything? Why aren't they responding? And there's my answer. You finished. You jaded.
No, I'm done. I'm done with that.
You're done with that.
Yeah, I'm completely
okay.
Done.
Okay.
No, and for me, what I strive for is not disregarding the fact that I am black, but I am not the voice of black. I cannot, you know, if my silence gets misconstrued, if my opinion gets confused, it is Sia's opinion or Sia's silence. It is not black people's voice or opinion. And so that has been, I guess, thank you for getting to the bottom line of how I feel. That was, that's my frustration when it comes to white people reaching out to me. Because, no, I don't know. I am not the voice of the blacks.
Yeah,
I don't know where you'll get the voice of the blacks, but it certainly just ain't me.
It's a great point, Sia. And Damon, the challenge that I would say I faced,
the challenge is that
when the sort of white people would come and ask you, it's because they can relate to you. You know, I've got a certain accent. I went to the same schools, so it's comfortable for them to receive feedback from me, because I'm socialized like they are. So it's kind of troubling, because then you become the voice of black people. And then something more insidious happens is, why can't they all be like you? And then we have a problem, because you eliminate the idiosyncrasy of black people. It's like, oh, that's what they should sound like. Like, no, there's a myriad of, whether you're Jewish, white, there's a spectrum of those. But generally, if you're black, and you kind of sound like, oh, okay, you got a clue. You become a, okay, that's what it should sound like. Rather than, okay, some people are that. And there is a myriad of other types of black people. There isn't a single black narrative. You know, there's conservative black people. There's liberal black people. You know, but if we try and sort of make it myopic, you want white people, black people to be one thing. And that's very dangerous for the conversation. Is what I feel, which is why I don't talk about it anymore, Damon.
Until now.
Yes.
Until now. I cut you open and I took the onion and I peeled the layers away.
That's it. You unzipped me.
and that won't ever happen again, eh?
Not in public.
So, Damon, Bernice met someone recently that's never heard of George Floyd. Did that shock you as well?
It shocks me. It absolutely shocks me. And,
why?
And if the person is perhaps uneducated, I can understand, because maybe doesn't read the news. I was going to say newspapers, but you look at the news feeds, so I can understand. But this was an educated lawyer. Mm-hmm. This person's a lawyer. And this person had never heard of George Floyd. I know some guy, the day before lockdown, he never knew that there was about to be lockdown.
Okay, now that's different.
And this is a highly qualified economy. He's an economist, or he writes research papers for some economic journal in America. This is a highly educated guy. He didn't know that lockdown was about to happen. I went past somebody. I had to pick up a parcel from somebody's house the other day. Mm-hmm. And I saw the gardener was watering the garden with a hose pipe. And he was also washing the driveway with the hose pipe. And I just said to this lady, you know, Renee, let's call her Renee for argument's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, there are water restrictions. You know, you're not supposed to use a hose pipe. She looks at me and she said, oh, I didn't know that. She's a qualified journalist. She does research for NGOs and other government entities. Oh, and she'll do a project for UNESCO, et cetera, et cetera. She didn't know that there are water restrictions.
Just because you're academically smart, it doesn't mean you get how to do life. Have you ever heard a term called smart idiots? I know some of the smartest idiots in the world. So they can be PhD in chemistry, but they don't know how to apply for an ID.
Oy vey. Yeah,
so this is real.
It just shocks. I'm like Leon Schuster. I get shocked.
You're Schuster shocked this morning.
I'm so Schuster shocked. I just get shocked. I just can't understand how people could be so ignorant.
I think your your light and faith in humanity has just diminished this morning.
Can we talk about Helen Ziller just very briefly, because we're running out of time? Helen Ziller, I unfollowed Helen Ziller, but I can't get away from her, because somebody else that I follow will retweet or tweet one of her tweets, or there was a, or the Sowetan. I read a tweet by the Sowetan. They had this whole article. Helen Ziller said that there are more racist laws today, more than there were under apartheid. How can you, I mean, how can you make a statement like that? And she, this is Helen Ziller. She's supposedly coming from some kind of a progressive background, but she's completely demolished her legacy in the last 2 or 3 years. Just crazy. And it's all Twitter. She's destroyed the DA on Twitter. Isn't that amazing? Just weird.
I'd use another word apart from amazing.
Shocked. You're shocked.
I'm just a shocked.
Just a shocked.
I'm just a shocked. And it's bizarre. I think we're seeing a bit of a fall from grace. Look, I'll be ready to bite my tongue if I'm wrong, but for now, I just feel like it's a big fall from grace.
No, it's happened. Adrian Passon, editor of News 24, he republished an article that he wrote last year in November, just describing how Helen Ziller built up the DA, and she actually turned the DA almost into a multiracial political party where black people could be identifying with the DA, and she's just destroyed it. And right. She's just destroyed it on Twitter.
That's just weird. It's incredible.
Yeah,
anyway. Well, yeah, we're running out of time, but I just want to give you a heads up on this. As Gareth mentioned a little earlier, do you actually know what you're putting onto your hands and sometimes all over your body as you sanitize during these times? And it's a little freaky to think about. But here are some people who can actually give you more information on that. You think about how many things we've sprayed onto ourselves. And have you guys heard about sanitizing tunnels?
Like water tunnels, or what are we talking about?
Like, kinda. Well, no. What do you mean by water tunnels?
Oh, sorry, I meant like in mines. You know, that you have to sanitize the pipes. My aunt is a metallurgist.
Okay, but Lelo, I don't even
know. No, I'm asking. Is that what you mean?
So I don't know where to take this conversation. What I mean is, you know, there's been a lot of conversation around these almost frames around entrances. There was talk at the beginning of corona cases in the country to get some of these tunnels created in taxi ranks. So as people walk into taxi ranks, they'll get sanitized as they walk through, et cetera, et cetera. I think some shopping centers even have them. So there was some hoopla around what is in those sanitizers specifically and how safe they are. Well, we got some guys from a company called Bio Consulting and some of their partners and associates to have a conversation around this, and particularly have a conversation around organic sanitizers. They have a particular product called Organic Fresh Sanitizer. So here are some doctors and real people in the know to let us know about what is in sanitizers and what we can learn and also be aware of in these times. So that's what we'll end the show off. This morning. Gareth pre-recorded that interview. So Mbulelo, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Damon Kalvari.
Yes, thank you very much, guys.
I hope your headache gets better.
True, I hope so too.
And may your cyst stay
dormant. Yes.
Hope so.
Yeah, and then if it doesn't, look, maybe we don't need to hear about it. Thoughts and prayers, Damon, thoughts and prayers. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. CliffCentral.com.
Well, despite what you may have heard from the people around you, the news, and even our own Department of Health, it's not all gloom and doom out there in these times. Now, there is great headway being made to prevent SARS-CoV contamination by Bioconsulting and their organic fresh sanitizer. We're going to find out a little bit about that in a second. As much as Bioconsulting totally supports the Minister of Transport and the Department of Health in their condemnation of the irresponsible use of documented dangerous and harmful chemicals in disinfectant spraying booths, they would like to tell you and me why they're far from being put into that category. So I thought it would be a good idea to speak to the people behind BioConsulting's organic fresh sanitizer. It is carefully formulated as a complex exclusively consisting of natural unique S4L technology flavonoids and extracts which extensively researched sanitary, health, environmentally friendly, and food safety benefits comply with. So I've decided we would need to talk to the people who really do know the stuff that we're talking about this morning, and they are Dr. François Ladechan, who is an agricultural innovation and advancement specialist, Pieter van der Westhuizen, who is the CEO and founder of the Organic Fresh product, Gerrit Potgieter, who is with Biolab Me, he's their CEO, and Luan Dreyer, who's the MD and technical specialist at Ampermist. So, gentlemen, first of all, congratulations on finding a way to help us all get through this crazy COVID crisis. You all deserve some congratulations for that. And I hope that your products and your expertise will be brought to bear to help the whole of South Africa and perhaps other parts of the world too, to deal with this very, very strange situation we find ourselves in. So, Pieter, can I come to you first? What is the difference between sanitizer and disinfectant?
Gareth, well, there's a big difference. When you're talking about a disinfectant, you try to clean and kill everything. It is beneficial as well as pathogenic. It's sterilized. It tries to sterilize.
Right.
So that's the main thing. On sanitizing, you're targeting specific pathogens, and you 99% you don't have a killing effect on your beneficial microbes. And that is the main history regarding sanitizing and the difference between the two of them.
Can I ask you, Pieter, or Dr. Ladechan, you could perhaps answer for me, what alcohol and chemical versus organic compositions of these disinfectants and sterilizers? What role does alcohol play?
Gareth, I'm not going to take it that you're putting me on the spot.
You're allowed to. I mean, it's a question a lot of us have asked because, you know, they spray our hands when we walk into shops and things, and we don't always know what's in there.
Yeah. No, look, that is one of the most important characteristics and properties of organic fresh is that it contains no chemicals. Mm-hmm. Now, to come back to your question on alcohol, look, alcohol is a very, very, very strong chemical component that has very, very good and strong properties mm-hmm. for purposes. But to spray it on your skin is a different story. We also agree with the Department of Health that no dangerous chemicals should be sprayed on people. I mean, alcohol is known for the fact that the moment you put it on your skin, it has two immediate effects. The first one is a sterilizing effect. Uh-huh. Which is probably the primary purpose why we put it on our hands. But the second one, which is I don't know if it's an unintended consequence or just something that's being ignored, is that it starts to dissolve the oils, the natural oils on the outside of your skin.
Right.
Which means that your skin starts to dry out. That's the first thing. The second thing, it permeates your skin. And it can bind, it can dissolve the lipid cells under the skin. And that's why you find some people, the skin actually comes away. The skin comes loose. Now, that is not the stuff that we believe in. That's not the stuff we want to be involved with. And that is why, and this I want to stress very clearly, this product, Organic Fresh, has come for, Pieter will elaborate, but it's been coming for about 15 years now. And we found that through the use of natural components like plant flavonoids and other bio extracts from plants, we can obtain a similar reduction log, which is log 5, than alcohol, and that is hospital grade. So we don't have to. Our product is not less effective on the reduction of pathogenic organisms.
Yeah.
But we do not have nearly that negative and detrimental effect on the total microbiome. And then I'm not even talking about the physical properties of your skin.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that too. When you get this these alcoholic hand sanitizers on your hands, they tend to dry you out horribly. And they also, dangerously, are quite flammable. Are the products that you guys are talking about less dangerous in both respects?
Gareth, Pieter, the answer is yes. It is totally not dangerous. Most of the ingredients in the organic fresh, you eat it every day. When you go into a shop in a Woolies or doesn't matter where, you buy a tomato or lettuce or something, and that's what you eat. You're eating bioflavonoids. And Yes, it is not flammable. It contains no alcohol. It has no flash point. We use it in different applications from the food industry. It has been organic approved in the food industry. That's where we come from. And we also use it in cosmetics, in specific healing properties. We also use it in a specific healing product where you can apply it on open wounds. And the test has been done for the past year and a half in South Africa, in Pretoria, and on people, on humans, by a well-known laboratory. And the results came out very positive. It has a healing effect on your skin. It has been proven. So, and it also has been proven as on your skin, non-irritant. It's not irritation in your eyes,
right.
Your skin, and your LD50, no problem. We're currently busy with an ILAC laboratory, international laboratory, on doing the acute inhalation. But we know for a fact it has been done in the past as well on different ingredients. So it's totally safe to use, and it's in the market, like Francois said. I started with that 17 years ago. It's not a new product. It's not something new formulated, and all of a sudden with COVID-19 put in the market. We came with it a long way, and we use the same product with a different variation of formulation. In the agriculture industry, spray it on the crops every day. It is very well known by your biggest chemical companies in South Africa. They use the product, like I said, just another name and a slight differentiation or different in the formulation to spray on crops on 3, 4, 5 times a season on the crops. There's no minimum residue levels, nothing like that. It's totally, totally safe.
So tell me quickly, because I'm not entirely sure I understand the term flavonoids. What are these flavonoids and these immune boosters that you're talking about? Dr. Latakhan, can you tell us?
Yeah. Look, flavonoids is a sort of a group name for a number of biochemical compositions and compounds that we carry naturally in our body. They act as signaling agents within your body. That means, all the biochemical processes that take place in our body. Well, also in plants, also in animals. Flavonoids have that characteristic of being very, very prominent in maintaining, sustaining those activities, but also a very important component or aspect of these flavonoids is that they have a very strong positive supporting effect on your immune system. It is also true, and this is very important that we understand this. I mean, there are something like every now and then you get different figures, but there's something anything between 5,000 and 8,000 different flavonoid compounds in your body. So and they bind and they bind and they form new compounds, and they play different roles in our body. But the short and the tall of it is, these are very active biochemical compounds in our bodies that play a very important role in every aspect of life that right. takes part in our bodies. We take it in via the fruit we eat, the food we eat. The flavonoids are responsible for color of fruit and taste. And so there are many parts of our normal life where flavonoids play a very important role.
They sound really useful and really interesting. Are there a lot of people using them in the ways that you guys are?
Gareth, Peter here. Yes, there are a lot of people. And the very interesting about, you have to understand about the flavonoid or bioflavonoid, there are more than 6,000 different flavonoids identified in the past 80 years.
Wow.
When you find a flavonoid, you call it a flavonoid inside the plant. The moment a bioflavonoid or a flavonoid being excreted through the roots, you call it organic carbon. Same thing. The moment you find it in the fruit, you call it an antioxidant. Same thing.
Wow.
So now we take these plant extracts with the highest flavonoid content and identified specific 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different kinds of flavonoids that have a specific researched very well and a specific effect on specific targets. And we included that and we got it into suspension. Our product is It's not in the solution. It's just in a suspension. So when you drink the product, it is kind of a concentrated form of specific of different kinds of fruits or plant extracts, and that's what it is. So the higher, and what we're doing on plants, we increase the antioxidant content of the fruit by anything from 20 to 120%, scientifically proven.
Wow.
So we use this specific fruit with the highest content of flavonoids, and we use that for the human health as well. And then at the end of the day, with a specific, like François said, when we know how to bake the cake, we can put it together to be effective against pathogens, but also not have a negative effect on your lactic acid bacteria. That's your lab, that's your beneficial microbes.
Gareth, sorry, can I just, what Peter is saying here is very important. What we are talking about here, if you go and read in the literature, I mean, there's not a shortage of literature. This is a whole science,
right?
Around natural components of plants. So that if you look at the ingredients in our formulation, I mean, it's really not strange things, but. And I think this is where we have the competitive advantage, is what Peter said. You know, we all know that eggs and milk and flour and all these nice things go into a cake.
Yeah.
But I don't know of many people who can bake a good cake. And I think this is what makes Organic Fresh a very, very special and a very effective product, is because we have learned how to bake the cake.
Absolutely. No, it sounds like a really interesting product. I mean, more to the point though, there are a lot of people who obviously have questions. What are the questions that you guys have to answer most of the time with respect to these products?
What are the questions?
Yeah, what do people mostly ask you? What kind of crazy and uneducated questions do you sometimes have to field? Because everybody's concerned about their health, and you know, you hear a lot of information, and some of the information isn't trustworthy, let's face it. So how do you manage to explain to people what they need to believe and what they need to understand?
You see, currently all our thinking is clouded by this COVID-19 narrative that is going around, and the dangers of infection and things like that. Now that is understandable, because that is what we hear every day across the media. Uh-huh. So the first question we're always asked, and this is sort of a standard question, is does our product kill a virus? Now a virus cannot be killed in the first place, because it's not alive. Uh-huh. It's just a component. It's the primordial component of life that is floating around in the atmosphere, and it only becomes really detrimental and pathogenic once it has lodged itself, and it starts to replicate. And I'm not going to go into those biological procedures, but a very important thing that we have seen, and we have subjected our product to tests the past 4 years on this, not intentionally. I mean, COVID overran many people, but we have seen that we can effectively inhibit lodging and replication of Corona type viruses. Remember, we don't only have one Corona type virus in our bodies. We have roughly about 8 that are resident.
Yes.
So yes, that is the one question. And then the comparison with alcohol. And then a very strange one that I find is that people compare us to disinfectants. Even though we have international certification that there is absolutely no chemicals in our components, ingredients, as well as in the manufacturing process. So that is very strange to me. It seems to me that there's a big, what's this in English now? A big confusion around the use of the terminology sanitation and disinfection.
Right.
That is the one thing I pick, and it confuses many people. Because even if you read the labels on the bottles, so that is another one that we find. And then the last one, which has more to do with the inhalation and things like that, people ask, yes, but what about if I have asthma? They ask questions about these underlying comorbidities.
Right.
Now, I'm not a medical specialist, and we say that we are restorative or preventative, if you want to call it that. We are not curative.
Absolutely.
Although we have seen some results that are very promising, but we are not going to make those claims. If you are ill, you go to your medical doctor or the medical specialist. Our main vision and focus is to contribute to creating a safe living environment, a healthy, sanitized living environment for all people, to allow your natural body functions to operate optimally. That's what we're looking at.
Well, hence the word organic, right? But I'm worried that maybe Donald Trump is partly responsible for the fact that people are asking you for disinfectants rather than sanitizers. he was telling people, no, well, surely there's a way that we can use disinfectants inside the body. And I think that might have confused a lot of people. All right, so...
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, Gerrit, can you answer any of those other questions that might have come up for you in the last while that confused people? You haven't spoken yet about the crazy questions you have to field.
We have all kinds of crazy questions, but the main things are basically, as Francois said, you know, is it healthy or not? You know, can you use it in a walk-through booth or misting booth? Yes, we can, and it has all these added beneficial
effects,
added benefits.
Yes,
it helps preventing all kinds of other infections. So that's basically the biggest question that we get from our side at this stage is it a beneficial product or not? And then obviously where you can find it, where you can buy it. And we have a whole host of distributors that we've appointed throughout the country. And we also sell it internationally at this stage.
So tell us quickly what's the easiest way for people to use your product if they want to buy some of it and try it?
Well, at this stage, we don't have it in the retail market, and we're looking at putting it into the retail market quite soon.
Okay.
But you can go to fileatme.com, and you'll find all the distributors that's listed there, and you can obviously contact the distributors and get the product from there.
So just give us that address again.
Biolabme.com.
Biolabme.com. All right, very, very good. One question, because Luan hasn't had a go yet. Luan, give us an overview of how the product is applied. You know, the many applications of which fogging is only one. You know, those tunnels that people we've seen in movies and things. Tell us about those applications.
Sure. So at Ampermist, we have decided to build these tunnels, and that is our specialty at the moment. So when we merged with Organic Fresh, because of all the safety documentation that's in place, the biggest concern for everybody was about this, like they mentioned, the alcohol aspect. Unfortunately, you can't mist alcohol, not only for the reason that it's very dangerous to inhale, but also for the fire hazard it's got. I mean, if you right. atomize alcohol, you actually make it worse.
Uh-huh.
So there's alcohol misting is a no-go. So we did a lot of research at Ampermist before we built these units. And there's a lot of technical aspects behind the scenes that nobody knows of. The whole thing is just a nice little structure looking like a house or a tunnel. And you walk through it and that's it. But actually these tunnels have been designed with a lot of technical aspects to it. For example, what plays a role is the size nozzles you use, the quantity of nozzles you use, the pressure that the pump delivers, the amount of sanitizer you mist onto a person. I mean, you don't want to walk through that tunnel and be soaking wet on the other side.
No.
So there's a big difference between a proper misting system and irrigation system, if I can put it that way.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So we have also kept a lot of other aspects in mind when designing these tunnels, right? So the core, like I explained to you, is the idea behind this whole thing is you as a person just walk through the tunnel. You will be covered properly with the right amount of sanitizer to be effective, still safe for your eyes, safe for your skin, safe to inhale, safe for children. And you literally walk through these tunnels. When you have a proper applied sanitizing layer on you that can help you fight these viruses and bacteria and stuff that's going around.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm sure there are more questions, but as we said, that many of them may be answered by yourselves as experts in this field. I think it sounds like really interesting and technologically advanced developments that we should be taking a lot more seriously. And I'm kind of annoyed that the Department of Health seems to be a little bit myopic. I mean, they're obviously trying their best, but I think they're being a bit myopic to count out everybody who's got interesting solutions to this current crisis. And you guys have been at it long before COVID came along, so maybe they should listen.
Sure, I agree.
Anything anyone else wants to add?
Yes, I agree with you again.
Go ahead. Do you want to add something?
Yeah, Gareth, if I were just in parting, I would like to just say this, that what we are busy with, the bigger picture, is to make people aware, to make society, to bring society products and opportunities to really understand the importance of your own immune system and your own health, and how that is probably one of your most important barriers against infections. COVID will come and go. There's no argument about that.
Sure.
And COVID and SARS-3 and SARS-4 and SARS-X will also come.
Yeah.
But the most important thing the message we would like to bring is we have these things in our hands. Let us use them to support our immune systems and our health, in order to just create a safer living environment.
Absolutely.
Gareth, Peter here, can I end off on my side on a lighter note?
Certainly.
You saw my photo. I'm 63 years old, no gray hair. I'm drinking my product for 17 years. I dare anyone outside to drink their alcohol and their chemical in front of me. I'll take a liter of that and drink it, and a second liter, and they can do the same. Let's see then.
Well, I mean, that's that's something that that gives me faith, because if you're prepared to drink an entire liter of the stuff and it's not going to kill you, then I'm sure that everyone else who thinks their products are safe will hopefully do the same. But I doubt very much they'll have the courage that you do.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Thank you.
On a lighter note.
But that proves everything. So thank you very much, gentlemen. It's good to speak to all of you, and please keep working hard. Organic Fresh is the sanitizer name. It's effectively and efficiently suppressing various pathogenic cellular organisms like bacteria, funguses, molds, non-cellular organisms like viruses too on surface areas. And you can find out more by looking up Organic Fresh, that is the name of the product, and by going to the website that we will link in the description below. Gents, thank you very much.
CliffCentral.com.
No, I done wrong. Left your heart.
CliffCentral.com.